This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. He joins us on Tuesday afternoons to talk a little growth and talk a little development. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, Coy. Thanks.
What's the best meal you've had in the past week? I feel like I haven't seen you in a long time. Were you here last week?
I was, but it was on Wednesday, and so that's what's got
you. It's all screwed up. What's the best meal you've had, Brian? Take a moment.
My wife's listening.
I better answer carefully.
It's all a blur, Coy.
Oh, you don't even have an answer?
Did you just give me the horn?
You don't have an answer?
I could tell a funny story. My wife bought this big piece of meat the other night, and she was working on the computer at the same time. And suddenly I started smelling burning meat, you know, throughout the whole house.
She's trying to cook and surf the net at the same time?
She was trying to do that. And so it was very funny. We all ate it, and we were happy to have a home-cooked meal. But she had to carve, like, the outside off of the meat. I'm sorry, Gene. Coy made me say it.
You get on the internet, you get busy. You get checking your Facebook account, and you're real busy. You're doing stuff. You're not on Facebook yet, are you, Brian?
I'm not. I'm trying to avoid it.
Well, you need to.
Charlottesville Tomorrow may be joining Facebook soon.
Sure, yeah. So absolutely.
Be on the lookout for us requesting your friendship.
Did Jean have a nice dessert or something?
Oh, yeah. It was a good meal.
Yeah. Well, she's an amazing cook, isn't she?
She is amazing.
There you go.
This was a once in every, 10 years kind of event.
Yeah. She's not the kind of woman to burn dinner.
No.
There you go. I had a bowl of cereal for dinner last night, Brian. But it was good cereal, but that's what I had for dinner.
Sometimes, when you get home late, that's just the thing you need.
And I always get home late.
Good bowl of cereal.
And there's nothing better.
What do you have?
I had it was vanilla granola from the bulk food section at Martin's.
Okay.
Mighty good stuff. Vanilla granola, you ever had that? You like granola cereal?
I didn't know they flavored it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah. Where do you go for lunch? That's who's?
I go all over the place for lunch. Today I was at Bijou.
Yeah, that's a Hawes' favorite place. Mm-hmm. He goes there all the time. Mm-hmm. They got a mean chicken Caesar that's really good.
I always get the fried chicken or the meatloaf.
Really? You like meatloaf?
Oh, yeah.
Did you like meatloaf as a kid?
I did.
Get out.
My mom...
Now, we're both from Atlanta, so we sort of grew up on meatloaf. I always hated it. I don't know why. It was always looked gross, smelled gross.
My mom probably got the recipe out of some magazine, but it was good. And it had little chunks of cheese in it.
Oh, see, you had a creative mom.
And then you could recook it, the next day and make sandwiches out of it.
Oh, see, that I might enjoy that. That sounds good. Mine had big chunks of onion in it liked and nobody else liked, but, She was cooking it for my dad. Oh, goodness. Brian Wheeler is the executive director of a little outfit called Charlottesville Tomorrow, which has redefined civic participation in growth and development issues here in Central Virginia in a very, very good way. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll talk a little issues here. We've got the what's going on in the county, the local food hub, the new Whole Foods, VDOT, and the local elections for the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors as well, which we shall discuss right after this message from Jay James. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. You can learn a whole lot more online at cvilletomorrow.org. And, of course, everybody knows y'all track growth, development, water, and all this stuff that we talk about every week. But they may not know that you also track local elections as well as a service to voters.
That's right, and we do that every 2 years because people may forget that in between, but we did this in 2005. Actually, the city has moved on to the county's election cycle for city council positions, so now it's going to be every 2 years. So in 2007, we last covered the Board of Supervisor races and city council, and that cycle is coming back. It's different seats this time. There's staggered elections in both the city and the county. So this November, our community, both in the county and the city, parts of the county, three of the magisterial districts. The Rio District seat currently held by David Slutsky, who's chairman of the Board of Supervisors. His seat is up. Sally Thomas, who is in the Samuel Miller District, her seat is up. And Dennis Rooker in the Jack Jewett District. So those three districts have seats up that will be on the November ballot. And then on city council, current mayor Dave Norris and Julian Talaferro, who's also on city council. And in the city, everyone is elected at large. So everyone votes for all the seats.
No districts.
But those two seats are up in the city. So we will be closely following those races. And it happens much differently in the city and the county. But one thing that they have in common this year, Coy, is that it's February. And, you know, last Wednesday, this wasn't something we were going to talk about because there were no declared candidates. Now, today, we have three declared candidates.
Just in the last week.
Just in the last week.
Tell us who they are.
Rodney Thomas was the first to announce. He had a public announcement last week. He's going to run as a Republican from the Rio District. The assumption is he will challenge David Slutsky. Mr. Slutsky has not announced if he's officially running for re-election, but he has announced he's not running for the House of Delegates for Rob Bell's seat in the 58th House District. So that frees him up to run for re-election.
For his seat again.
That's right.
On the Board of Supervisors.
So Rodney Thomas is a former chair of the Albemarle County Planning Commission. He was appointed there by David Bowerman, who was in the seat David Slutsky's now in. And so he's got a record of public service to run on, and he's got ideas about, you know, he would describe himself as a fiscal conservative, and he's concerned about, you know, how the county's spending money and what its priorities are.
And property rights,
land
issues.
Property rights is another big area of his concern.
Yeah, yeah. He's also, like you, a graduate of the Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership at the University of Virginia.
All right.
Yeah.
So that's Mr. Thomas. Then another county seat, John Lowry, has not had an announcement event, but he is an official candidate. We were checking on the paperwork of the candidates who had filed. John Lowry is somebody who we interviewed today. Actually, the Daily Progress put his name in print first at the end of the article about Rodney Thomas. But John Lowry is expected to run for the Samuel Miller district seat. Sally Thomas, like David Slutsky, has not announced whether she is going to seek re-election.
What's the scuttlebutt?
The scuttlebutt is she will not seek re-election.
Interesting.
So that may be an open seat race.
Wow.
John Lowry is the first to step forward and express an interest. He's got a website. He's receiving money.
He just hasn't announced yet.
He just has not had his announcement yet.
Yeah. Now, who's John Lowry?
John Lowry was appointed by Sally Thomas to the Industrial Development Authority Board in the county. And he is somebody who's been a business executive in town, graduate of William & Mary, 1969.
There you go. I like that.
Knew you'd like that. Moved here in 1970 after graduating and has been working in the banking and investment business ever since. So he's retired right now. Most recently, you can look at the story we wrote on Charlottesville Tomorrow's website, which I'm pulling up as we speak so I can be correct here. He most recently worked for Old Dominion Capital Management in 2007-2008. Before that, worked for Wachovia Securities. But we interviewed him today. He wasn't willing to go on the record about different issues in his campaign, but on his campaign website, which he does have, he mentions education, quality of life, and transportation as being really important. So expecting a formal announcement for Mr. Lowry in the near future.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow about this year's local elections. Three seats in the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors races will be contended for, and two seats on the City of Charlottesville City Council.
And I hope people will call in with questions about this race and how it all works, because we could get into some of the details that I think would be helpful. And in fact, the City of Charlottesville has now scheduled two candidate training forums for candidates running for city offices. The registrar in the city, Sherry Iachetta, has scheduled an event in February and one in March. They're both on our calendar. For candidates who are interested possibly in running for anything from, you know, sheriff to treasurer to city council, and you can go to those events. Also, school board races will be covered, and she's going to cover the ins and outs of what paperwork you have to file if you're going for a party nomination versus an independent candidacy. And speaking of running as an independent, John Lowry has not announced whether he would seek a party affiliation or not.
Yeah, yeah.
He has started collecting signatures. He's got 115 of the 125 signatures you need to get on the ballot. So it's pretty easy to get on the ballot in Virginia for these races as an independent. Certainly, there's some advantages to running with the party in that you've got then a grassroots network ready to support you, to work the polls, help you knock on doors and do things like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's a big help.
But there also
can be a big help.
Can be. There are also some merits, I would say, to running as an independent for these seats because it separates you from some of the partisan issues that come up.
Might free you up to discuss issues in a different way.
Yeah.
That might have an appeal to a broader electorate.
And what's interesting right now is on the County Board of Supervisors, we have two of each. We have two Republicans. I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Now I have to recount. We have two Democrats. That's Ann Malik and David Slutsky. We have and Lindsay Dory is a Democrat. So now we have three Democrats. We have one Republican in Ken Boyd. And then we have two independents, Sally Thomas and Dennis Rooker. On city council, it's 100% Democrats.
Yeah.
So the city process is a little different. That has not held up people from announcing early, though. And again, this is only the second election for council that's being held in November. But Kristen Zekos is going to have a public announcement this Saturday at the downtown transit station on Valentine's Day at noon in front of the transit center. And Kristen Zekos intends to run as a Democrat. So she will have to compete for the Democratic nomination for those two seats. Again, those are held today by Dave Norris and Julian Taliaferro, neither of which has announced whether they are seeking reelection.
Interesting. And when is the when do the Democrats in Charlottesville have their convention where they get together and by and large, they sort of pick the winners of that race, of the general election at a place like Charlottesville? It really happens at the party level since the Democrats are so strong in the city.
I don't know that they've announced the date yet, but the state determines when the window is during which they have to have that. So it'll be between May 8th and June 9th.
Wow.
So we have several months here of candidates who we expect to come out and, you know, get their platforms out there and start trying to recruit voters to support them.
Yeah, yeah.
So in the city, we expect a contest, you know, for the Democratic nomination. There may also be independents who run. Independents don't have to submit all their signatures and paperwork until June 9th. So right up until the end, you may have people announcing that they intend to run.
Right, right.
Last time for city council, we had both independents and Democratic nominees.
So I'm curious, any specifics about these local elections this year that you want people to know about? Any of the ins and outs you were talking about that you find particularly interesting?
Well, I would just point out that, of course, Charlottesville tomorrow is nonpartisan. We don't endorse anybody. We will be covering all of their announcement events that they tell us about. We'll go to them. We'll film them. We'll podcast them so you can get access to that information. We will do in-depth interviews with the people who end up on the ballot and make that information available. Our goal is to help everyone make an informed vote.
Yeah. So you know who these people are and where they stand on all the issues that people talk about.
At least on the subset of issues that we follow. So we're going to focus on growth and development matters.
Yeah.
And that's certainly going to include transportation and the water supply in 2009 and how to fund those things. So the budget's going to be an important issue.
That going to be, you think those are the three big issues this year for this election? Transportation, water supply, and budget?
And education probably.
Could be shaping up to be.
Yep, education could certainly come in there. We won't cover the education angle because of my role on the Albemarle County School Board, so we don't. Charlottesville Tomorrow doesn't talk about the education angle.
You're on the school board?
occasionally I do that too. So we'll stay away from that. That could be an issue. As I mentioned, Mr. Lowry has already identified that as one thing he's concerned about. But you know, I expect in the city and the county, the issues will be a little different. And I look forward to seeing what Ms. Zekos has to say on Saturday when she announces.
There you go. And you can get all of this. The Charlottesville Tomorrow has a special Election Watch website. You can find it by going to sevilletomorrow.org and clicking on elections, right?
That's right.
That'll take you there. We're going to break for local news and weather. When we get back, we'll talk a little growth and development with Brian Wheeler. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
One of the first steps to becoming a successful small business owner is mastering mobile productivity. Another step is keeping in touch with key people wherever you go. A third step, which makes the first two possible, is getting a smartphone like the BlackBerry Curve 8330 from U.S. Cellular. With it, you can email and text, as well as view and edit Microsoft Word and PowerPoint documents. And if you have questions, just call our priority support line and talk to one of our business-trained associates. Smartphones from U.S. Cellular. An important step to success.
Now get the BlackBerry Curve 8330 smartphone for $89.95 after voice and smartphone plan purchases. Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
U.S. Cellular. Believe in something better.
Cellular Express, helping you stay in touch with this.
Today, we're facing so many challenges and so many families are hurting. We can provide opportunity for all Americans in the form of jobs and economic recovery.
Terry McAuliffe, if you don't like cuts, I don't believe you raise taxes in a down economy. It leaves us one alternative. We got to grow this economy. We got to create jobs.
The Albemarle Political Corner, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WBAX and Sundays at noon on News Radio 1070 WINA.
What are we going to do?
There's only one thing a man can do when he's suffering from a spiritual and existential funk.
Go to the zoo, flip off the monkeys?
No. Buy new suits.
Yay!
It's 40 minutes after 5 o'clock, 20 before 6. This is Charlottesville right now. News Radio 1070 WINA, 63 degrees! Let's rejoin our conversation with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. You can learn more online at seavilletomorrow.org. So those are the local elections. Let's talk about this county citizen satisfaction survey, which I've heard. Do they do this every year?
Every 2 years.
Every 2 years. Because I knew I'd heard it before.
This. So they've got good trend data. They've been asking similar questions for a long time. And
who does this?
This is done by the University of Virginia Center for Survey Research.
Oh, at the Cooper Center.
In the Weldon Cooper Center.
That's where I work.
Yeah, you work in that building.
I do indeed.
So you've seen those people.
Good folks, yeah. They do great work.
They do good work. And it's scientifically valid. They've got a great process. This is a lengthy telephone-based survey that they do. One of the things they added to the mix this year was calling mobile telephone numbers.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Because
where people are now.
They found more and more people are, ditching the landline.
Yeah.
And especially younger generations are switching to mobile phones exclusively.
I heard on WINA News that William and Mary got rid of their landlines in their dorms, and UVA is likely to do the same because all the kids have phones.
They bring them
with them.
Yeah. Save the money.
Absolutely. I'm all for that.
Wireless everything.
So what were the results this year as compared to last year's? Any interesting...
Are people satisfied? We just put up a summary. Yeah, in general, people are pretty satisfied in Albemarle County. And so that's not really the news. I mean,
yeah.
That's why people move here and like to live here.
Right.
It's because we have a great quality of life in the city and the county. So if you want to put a number on that, 72.8% rated the county's quality of life as being 8 or better on a scale of 1 to 10.
What would you say on a scale of 1 to 10? Your quality of life.
I'd say
it's not your personal, like, how do you feel? It's like, how do you feel about your community in this area? And
give it an 8. I think that's a good number.
Yeah. I'd say 8. I think there's room for improvement.
Room for improvement? Sure.
Yeah. I wish there was a monorail. Monorail, I'd go to 9.
Now, that's speaking of transportation, they did ask about transportation matters.
Uh-huh.
And what was a little different this year, they asked this question a couple ways. And Charlottesville Tomorrow did a survey in 2007, and we sort of experimented with this kind of phrasing as well.
I remember that.
Asking about whether people are willing to pay for transportation. And if you just sort of leave it general, do you think we should, if we have a list of transportation priorities, do you think we should do them? Most people say, that kind of makes sense. And then when you say, well, can we take those dollars out of your back pocket in the form of increased taxes?
The numbers change.
Then the numbers go down a little bit. And in fact, that's what the county found when they asked these questions. So
people want improved transportation, but they don't necessarily want to be asked to pay for it.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you surprised?
That's America, isn't it?
So the survey found that 70.3% of people strongly favor or somewhat favor using tax money to support road construction. But when they were asked a follow-up question, would you support a tax increase to fund transportation, the number dropped to 58.2. So from 70.3 to 58.2.
Now that's interesting because that's probably the closest we'll get to a referendum that the Albemarle County asked Richmond, can we do a referendum to see if our citizens would support an increase in the sales tax to pay for local road projects? And Richmond said, no, you can't ask your citizens if they want to do that. You're not
That's
allowed.
Right.
So this is probably the closest we'll get.
Well, and decision makers certainly took this data, both to hearings in front of the Board of Supervisors, but also down to Richmond. David Slutsky was quoted in the Daily Progress as mentioning this survey as one of the reasons They thought a regional transit system made sense for Charlottesville and Albemarle. A House subcommittee did kill that bill that was put forward by David Toscano, who represents the 57th district. And that would have given the voters the power to have a referendum to have a sales tax increase of up to 1 cent on their transactions.
Which would have added millions to cover local road projects. I don't know how I feel about the tax increase, the penny on the sales tax, but I was all for the referendum. And I just, why can't we decide ourselves?
I remember when I told you that in my top 10 stories of 2008, that was one of them, the fact that we were moving forward on a regional transit. But that, you know, I thought that the House of Delegates would kill that.
Yeah, you were right.
And I remember you being surprised. You know, why on earth would they do that?
I don't understand conservatives or liberals. I just don't, because I'm not either one. And I don't get it. Why wouldn't you say, Albemarle, you want to do that? It's just a referendum.
Yep. Well,
it's literally just a survey that Richmond says, no, you can't survey your citizens to find out if they want to.
Well, I think it's clear there are certain members of the General Assembly that don't want to be in any way
associated
with a tax increase.
With even the talk of a tax increase.
Now, if you call it a fee,
then it's okay.
Then maybe it's okay.
Yeah.
Or if somebody else wants to do it, maybe it's okay. I don't know. But you're right. It was not a surprise, but... you know, David Slutsky and Dave Norris were two people that were really outspoken, trying to lead the way on that effort.
Yeah.
And both said they were disappointed by the end result, even though it wasn't a surprise to them.
Yeah. Well, it just seems to me one of the very foundations of a democracy is the ability for a local government to ask its citizens, how do you feel about this? We're talking about it. How do you feel about it?
And people new to Virginia are always surprised by this, what is known as being a Dillon Rule state. And by being a Dillon Rule state, what that means is local government only has the power given to it by the General Assembly in Richmond.
Yeah.
So if they haven't given you the power to raise a new tax, you don't have that power.
Here's my question. Here's what I don't understand in this whole process. You do have the power to do a referendum. They have the power to do this survey and ask this question on the survey. Why can't you do a referendum? And
they could certainly assess the voters' opinion. I don't know, Coy, if they could put it on the ballot as a referendum. They might be able to, but it would not surprise me if County Attorney Larry Davis was here, he could answer this question. But it would not surprise me if you're asking, you might be able to ask a question, but if you ask a question about a tax increase that you don't have the power to levy without their permission, you may not be able to ask about it.
My gosh.
It would not surprise me. Now, I don't know the answer to that.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at SevilleTomorrow.org.
So the county, got a lot of good information from the survey. Again, they do it every 2 years. 93% almost said they were satisfied with county programs and services. But there's a lot of information here that I think is helpful to county government. Again, they ask similar questions over a certain period, so they have some trend data.
Yeah.
And it'll certainly be helpful to anybody running for office in the coming year.
Yeah, find out how people...
It gives you a snapshot of what the county is thinking. And this has an accuracy rate of plus minus 3% because the sample size was big
enough.
Not bad.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And again, UVA, does quality work on this front. So you won't see people challenging the scientific accuracy. People may be able to quibble about the wording of different questions. But again, some of these questions have been asked year after year.
And what was the percentage of people who... would support a tax increase to pay for local road projects?
70.3% said they would support county tax dollars to fund road programs, but it dropped to 58% if you frame it as, would you support a tax increase?
That's still 6 out of 10 people.
Still,
support it.
You know, it allowed Supervisor Slutsky to go to Richmond and say a majority of our voters would support increased taxes for transportation needs. That said, Supervisor Ken Boyd pointed out when this was discussed in front of the board, and you can read our story at SevilleTomorrow.org, he pointed out that the timing of the survey was, right before the economy really tanked, and that
Good point.
A survey is a point in time, assessment.
A survey, a poll, it always shows where people were, because
right.
It's always in the past.
And
doesn't tell you where people are going or how they feel now.
And this survey was done from mid-August to mid-September.
That's before it really got bad. Yeah.
And so you might get a different result if you did it today.
Yeah.
But what you know, what remains true is that it's difficult to get any funds moving towards transportation projects here in Central Virginia.
Amazing. It really is amazing. I talk to people who come to visit and stuff, and you tell them what's going on, and they don't get it. They're like, "You're kidding! Your state government is destroying itself. It's destroying the state." That's one opinion. It is just amazing, amazing.
And this information follows on an announcement that's also on our website. VDOT just told the Board of Supervisors that there will be additional cuts to their six-year allocation of funds. So it's going to go from $15.5 million to $11.7 million. And that's the money from Virginia, from the state, for roads in Albemarle County for a six-year period. So it's going down to $11 million, 11.7, almost 12, for 6 years. So take any major project, you know, Meadow Creek Parkway interchange, that's in the city. But just to give you some volume number, you know, that's a $27 million interchange.
These big projects are like tens of millions.
Tens of millions.
And they're giving us $11 million for 6 years, which is basically, let's be honest, a maintenance budget.
And I think I saw...
At best.
That money is dwindling too, and so I think I think I read on WINA's website that Butch Davies, who's on the Commonwealth Transportation Board representing this region, he said that the money is going to dwindle even further, and he doesn't expect that the federal stimulus money is going to do much for this picture either. So those holding out hope that, you know, federal money will just rain down on these projects and get them done, even the ones that are shovel ready to go, he was not optimistic that that would happen.
Amazing.
So that's
really is alarming, though.
That's the environment we're in. That's why you have local government asking the voters, well, how else can we do this?
Yeah.
This snapshot in this county citizen survey gave one point of view. It happens to match the point of view we found in 2007 when we did our survey. Again, in this economic climate, most voters are saying, you know, we can't handle more taxes at this point. That's what most people say.
I go back to what Dennis Rooker said a few months ago. It really might get to that point where action is only taken when you spend every road you're driving, you're navigating potholes. I mean, we might have to get to that point before people realize, oh, no, wait a minute. We let it all go to pot.
Was it Governor Warner?
No pun intended. We let it all go to potholes.
Governor Warner closed the DMVs for a certain number of days each week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mark Warner?
That'll send a message.
It's unfortunate, but that's where we are.
Yeah. Hey, there's another news story that I wanted to jump to about the Whole Foods that's in Siva Weekly this week. It just came out today, I think.
I thought that was good and had a great picture on it.
That is cool.
This is a story by Shay Connolly, and it says the new Whole Foods is waiting on the site plan. So the Whole Foods, Coy, as you know, is off Hydraulic Road in the city of Charlottesville next to the Kmart and Gold's Gym. And
where the old Triple Terrace Cinema was.
The Terrace Triple was there. That's been torn down. Eventually, the Seminole Theater right behind it will be torn down. To make way for Hillsdale Drive.
Will they tear that down to do the Whole Foods?
No. They will have to tear it down to do the Hillsdale connector.
Do those have to be built at the same time, the Hillsdale connector and the Whole Foods?
No. Because
there's no money for the Hillsdale connector.
That's right.
To borrow on a theme we were just talking about.
But, the only thing Whole Foods will have to do is build the little part of Hillsdale Drive that goes in front of their store, which will go out to Hydraulic Road, but then dead end at the wall of the Seminole Theater. But anyway, the word from this article is a story that we reported in the past and is still true today based on this journalist's research, is that they're still moving forward with the site plan. They're trying to get it approved by the city, and the people working on the project say they're going through the motions and they're waiting on city staff to review it, but they still plan to move forward.
Well, that's remarkable. So if that's approved by the city and it's in the process, we could see construction of this Whole Foods.
Well, they've done the site preparation. Now, it depends who you ask. So the local people who are working the project through the city are saying, we're still working the project. If you call corporate and ask Whole Foods what they're doing, you always get no comment. And we find that with other major chains when we call and ask about their plans for different stores. They keep that pretty close to the vest.
Yeah, so
they don't like sharing that information. So, you know, I'm always very cautious on these things, Coy, and I would just say this is there's no indication they're killing it. Every indication they're trying to get a plan approved, but once they have the plan approved, they might sit on it.
They could sit on it for years if they wanted to.
There's going to be a time limit on it, but yes, they could sit on it for quite a while.
Yeah.
And right now what they've done is a lot of site preparation work, stormwater work, to get the pad ready.
Right, right.
To build it. But it's quite a awesome looking complex. They've got a big parking garage that's bermed into the earth, and that's where you see the lower part as you drive by that on a hydraulic road. That's where the parking garage is going to be, and then the Whole Foods will be up on the
higher
level.
Yeah, yep. In the parking lot up there.
Yeah, and eventually, you know, the idea is to move the traffic light from in front of the Kmart. Right now, the traffic light connects Kmart and Kroger across the street. The traffic light would move down to the new Hillsdale Drive intersection with hydraulic road.
You can learn more online, SeavilleTomorrow.org. Brian, thank you so much.
Thank you, Coy, for having me.
Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. He joins us on Tuesday afternoons. Y'all have a great night. Sit tight and enjoy Best Seat in the House coming up.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.